Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Almost half of all Americans now own a smartphone, and it seems these days most kids can navigate the tablet better than their parents. With all this modern technology, how do we create a safe environment for our children but still let them have fun and learn on our phones or tablets? I'm John Arreal, founder of FamilyFriendlyVideoGames.com and co-author of The Modern Parent's Guide to Kids and Video Games, and this is Parent Savers, episode 18.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Did you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome to Parent Savers, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Casey Wilt. You can now take Parent Savers with you wherever you go. Our apps are now available in the Amazon Android Market and the iTunes App Store. They have great features like the ability to start your favorite episodes and as well as instant access to the most recent episodes and social networking sites. So it's another great way to get parenting information. Another way is to subscribe to our Parent Savers newsletter. It's featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes content from our show, special giveaways, discounts, and more. So visit our website, parentsavers.com, for more info. I am a new parent myself. My son Carson is now 20 months old, and I'm joined by four new parents here in the studio.
Hello again. My name is Owen. I own a video marketing and website development company in Oceanside. I've got three kids, a five-year-old, a 14-month-old, and a four-week-old.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of kids.
Yeah, so we haven't slept in a while.
I know, I bet.
We don't need to sleep anymore.
Hi, my name is Todd Wood. I'm 40 years old. I'm a work for the Department of Defense. I have one daughter who is 15 months old.
Hey, my name is Benjamin Martin. I'm 26, and I run a business in Oceanside, custom graphics, woodworking, etc. I have a two-month-old little girl. I'm really short on sleep, in case you can't tell. And it's awesome. I love it.
Hi, my name is Colin Rand. I am 32 years old. I have two wonderful boys, one 5 years old and the other is two, and they give me a run for my money every single day.
They give me a run for my money.
Between
I want a Sprite and no lettuce on my taco.
It's very picky sometimes within my kids' meal situation. But I also own an entertainment company as well.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Today in our news headlines, here is the line, drop the pasta, dad, and no one gets hurt. And it talks about how once you start having kids, you know, if your kid's a picky eater, like you were just saying, your kid's a picky eater and they leave this on the plate and they leave that on the plate. Well, what are dads for? They're the little garbage pail, you know, you shovel it in your mouth and everything else. Is that true in your house?
The problem with me is that Kanan loves his greens.
Uh-huh.
So he'll leave half a burger on his plate. And
eat the bun.
See, the problem is that my plate is so full anyway. But his leftovers become my late night snack.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I actually figured that, like, at restaurants now, I'll order less for me knowing that I'm going to end up cleaning up after those
idea.
Guys.
That's a good idea.
The chicken nuggets look so good on my kids'
menu. You
know
what? Just get them a 20-piece McNuggets at McDonald's, and I'm not really not going to get anything because I'll end up eating most of those anyway.
I ask for the kids' menu.
That's a good tip, too.
Well, and this article said that it found that the father's risk of obesity rises 4% with each child, and a mother's raises 7%. Well, I mean, that's obvious, but it said women have hormonal changes, so what's your excuse?
Tasty.
Right. You know, I mean, I think there's less time. for me, I feel an obligation that, you know, it's no longer about taking care of myself. I'm taking care of my family. And I almost feel selfish if I'm taking time away. And it's wrong. I shouldn't do that. You've got to take care of your body. But I was in the best shape of my life when my first son was born. And now, 5 years later, I'm not there anymore.
Well, you're preaching to the choir. I was an Adonis. I was literally in the gym three, 4 days a week. I was in the best shape of my life. I was doing 5Ks and 10Ks. I was mountain biking. And that's what I think attracted me, or attracted my wife. You know what I mean? And then we had kids almost right away. So I actually, and I'm still in decent shape. I got married at a size 32 waist. I'm now a size 35-ish waist. And I got a health test, and I was obese for the first time in my life.
Really?
Yeah. Now, body BMI, you could argue that a little bit on how scientific it actually is, but it was a wake-up call for me.
Yeah. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I've lost 30 pounds since
high school. That's such a lie. I'm just kidding. I've known Colin since high school, and we've got some weight to lose.
Yeah. You were about to say something to Todd? Okay. Well, and actually the article actually said not only do we finish our food, but it's the palate. So it's our refrigerators and dinner tables have begun to bend to the palates of our children. So you're eating goldfish. Right. I mean, did you have goldfish when you were in your 20s? You know?
Absolutely. All the time. I still get them all the time. Yeah.
The multicolored or just the orange?
You know, the flavor blasted. You gotta
these new fang-dangled goldfish, I don't want anything to do with them.
Well, the thing that I find, especially with my kids, because they are picky eaters, like Owen said earlier, but they're healthy eaters in the fact that I'm having my own plate, and I'm eating fast to try and get to them to help them eat as well. And what I'm doing is I'll go and get a second helping to actually show them, hey, look, guys, this is actually really good. And so I'm trying to set that example of you need to eat these either vegetables or this protein like salmon. And my son, my 5-year-old son, Lucas, his favorite, if you ask him, his favorite dinner is salmon and broccoli, which is really cool. But what I'm finding is he's watching me eat and then he's not eating himself. So I'm going to get more, say, okay, let's have a contest. Who will eat more? Here, so it's a little different. Yes, I'm eating more. I'm going to get a second helping, but it's also more to set an example of what we need to eat.
I eat less at home and more. It's like you were saying, like you want to spend time with your kids, so I rush home just to get home for the end of dinner, and I picked up some Wendy's on the way, and my wife hates that. I had dinner here, but it's like, yeah, but you're already an hour into it. And I want to go be with my kids, you know what I mean? Because I get home maybe 6-7 o'clock. That's right at bedtime. So I get home. I don't want to sit down and eat. I want to help clean them up, give my wife a break, and play with the boys for an hour before they go to bed. So, you know, you've got that fast food thing that happens. And that happens, pretty often in my line of work.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the convenience of food, that sometimes you can just fall in love with it and then get in patterns with, let's just go with the easy stuff as opposed to the healthier stuff. It just takes a little more time to cook that healthy stuff, and it's great to get that in your life.
And don't get me wrong. It's not that we completely get away from the fast food or the convenience of getting something quick to go. And that can also come back, and it's a double-edged sword. When you're trying to set an example of what to eat, they'll look at you and see that salmon and broccoli and eat it, but then they'll also see you eating the double double or the bacon cheeseburger, and they go, oh, I like that, or dad's eating that, so I must eat that too, you know.
Well, I guess we should end on a quote that it said in the article. Says your eating food is not helping anyone else who is starving, so I guess remember that one.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real, running a household can be exhausting and chaotic, and finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now, the Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame, so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today on Parent Savers, we have John Arreal, author and video game insider. Plus, he's a concerned dad, here to talk with us about technology and our toddlers with the ever-present smartphones and tablets. So, what do doctors say about this?
Well, you know, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that kids under two have no screen time at all. But I don't know that that's really realistic. And the thing about those studies is technology changes so quickly that there aren't really a lot of established studies for doctors to look at to see the impacts of current technology and smartphones on kids today. So what they do is they go to the screen that's been around the longest, the screen that's been around for, what, 60 years, 50 years now? The TV. And they base a lot of the research on TV. So a lot of that's based on their kind of seeing impact of kids sitting in front of a TV, watching a show, and saying, you know what, kids under two don't need that in their lives. But these screens on the tabs and smartphones are a little bit different. So there's some doctors that say, you know, there's some doctors that point to that and say, don't do it. If you can avoid it, don't do it. There's some doctors that say, you know what, it's fine. There's really nothing to worry about that much. Just don't do it too much and do it a little bit in moderation. So you'll see different opinions from different doctors. The official line is no screen time under two, but I think we can probably all attest a little bit that that's just not realistic and not the reality of the world we live in today.
Well, my question is, I have a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old, and my son, my oldest, loves to watch TV. What do I do with the 2-year-old while he's watching TV?
Yeah.
Am I just, he can watch it, but you can't.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and when you start throwing older siblings into the mix, you know, all the kids want, I mean, starting at, we have a 15-month-old now, and I mean, it's starting at about, you know, 10 or 11 months.
Yeah.
They just want to do what their brothers are doing, what their sisters are doing, what their parents are doing. And if they see people playing with the device, watching TV, and if you've got your 5-year-old watching Phineas and Ferb or Busy Town Mysteries, and your 2-year-old's probably going to be sitting right down next to them and just get sucked into the show as
well. Now, the difference, though, with the TV, and this is kind of what you were talking about, is the TV is not an interactive device.
Right.
You know, the TV, you know, delivers a message to you, whereas the video game requires a response. You know, my 15-month-old, he or 14-month-old, he'll have the smartphone, and as soon as it asks him to do something, he's out. He doesn't get it. You know what I mean? Half the time, his fingers are on the screen the whole time, and it pauses the game, so to speak. So there is a difference there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's an interactivity to these tablets and apps, and there's definitely this level of, you know, kids need to be old enough to kind of understand that. I think when kids, even like before 1 year old, you know how kids just want to grab everything, put it in their mouth. I think there's that aspect of the first thing. I mean, they see their parents with it all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll admit I need to do a better job of it. I'm sure we all do. But we check our phones. We check our emails. We see what's going on with the score of the game. And kids see that and want to model that behavior. And kids just want to grab what everyone else has. And I think it's starters, like before they turn one, they just want to chew on it and see what it tastes like. But as they get to maybe around like 18 months old, I think they start to figure out that, hey, this can actually, I can control this, and that's when they can start kind of understanding that it's more than just, if it asks them something, they don't throw it away, then they kind of start realizing, hey, I can slide that bar across and unlock it. I mean, kids can do that before their second birthday.
There's a viral video online that show, and it's a few months ago, it showed a little girl with the magazine. Did you see that?
Yeah,
and,
I think so.
And she had the iPad, she's, you know, flipping through it. Not, you know, she's just flipping through it, but she's actually engaging it. And then they give her a magazine, and she's doing the same thing with the magazine and can't understand why it's not doing anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was under 2 years old type of a – it's a brave new world, you know, that we're in here.
Absolutely. If you think about it, I mean, for these kids growing up now, I mean, this generation, they're not going to know a world without touch screens.
That's right.
It's weird to them.
It's crazy.
And some amazing touch screens. These are not like – I had a tablet computer. It, you know, the screen flipped around as this behemoth in 2007. Those were the beginnings.
Right.
This is a whole new type of technology that is – it's incredible.
It's going to be to them if you can't touch a TV or a screen and manipulate it on it, I mean, it's going to be like – us looking at a phone with a cord on it. Like, what?
Right.
What's the point of that?
And, you know, it's interesting. We just did some traveling, and my son, we stayed in a hotel, and he picks up, you know, the hotel's got the big, you know, rotodial phone or whatever, and he goes and he picks it up, and he puts the receiver on his ear, and my wife and I were just like, how did he know that that was a phone? You know, because he's never seen this device before. But there's some intuitiveness about that. You know, now he does the same thing with the remote control.
Yeah.
So,
my son does with a calculator.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
I think they just assume everything's a phone now.
Yeah, possibly. It could be. It could be.
So what's the potential negative effects, like addiction or anything like that?
Well, so there's a lot of, you know, as I was saying, there's not a lot of studies that are really done. So a lot of the negative effects are anecdotal. And I think there's things that maybe we've seen or that we've read about. I read a recent journal story in the Wall Street Journal about this reporter who they took a cross-country trip with their two-year-old, and they said it was just amazing. They played with the iPad. They watched it. They played a couple games. They watched videos. They loved it. But then they started to notice that every time they would give it to her, she would just get this laser focus and completely shut out the world, and it started mm-hmm. disturbing them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's one of the concerns that – I mean, it's legitimate, and I don't know that there's any quantifiable data that I've found about it, but I think parents can kind of use their gut and say, yeah, I think that there's something that's drawing them in, and it's too much, and it's to the detriment of things to the outside.
I think that you're conditioning your child to the screen, and that's my biggest concern. I studied media. I have a degree in media, does violence cause or does do video games cause violence debate rages on even to this day. Mm. And I think what a big problem is, we see the same thing with my 5-year-old. He laser focused in on the device, and afterwards there is a really bad attitude, disobedience, rebellion. It's temper tantrums, and this is not my son, mm-hmm. you know. And we look at it as like this really odd behavior that's coming as a result of I wanted to be in that video game where I'm beating up bad guys and I'm using swords and using knives, even on these more or less docile video games. But even on the kids' games, you're popping balloons and you're shooting bow and arrows at the alphabet and things like this, and you're conditioning them that fun comes from the ding. And then when they get into more aggressive games and more aggressive TV shows, they're still – they go from the smartphone to now the television to now the movie screen to the computer screen and gaming and so on and so forth, and you're creating that. That's what I worry about when it comes to the addiction.
Yeah, and I think the issue becomes that smartphones and tablets are really good and provide really compelling experiences for kids and for grown-ups that they want to play with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would wonder if he was engaged in a magical make-believe play in his puppet theater at home and he was pulled away from it for some reason, if he might have some of the same reactions because he was so engaged and engrossed in the world.
Yeah. And I don't know that he gets that engaged in those.
Right.
And, you know?
Well, I think it's one, it's the conditioning, and one, it's the – and two, it's the convenience of what we have available.
That's right.
But it's also – I think it's up to the parents to determine what's on that smartphone, what's on the tablet. Mm-hmm. If we have games that we enjoy playing as adults that may be a little more fun and youthful for us to play but are too mature for the kids to be playing, and we allow them to use those, we've gone astray from what we really ethically should be giving our kids at that point. But if we give them the availability to painting with your finger on the tablet, or learning your ABCs, or a talk back type of application where you're talking to a cat and it talks back to you, that kind of thing. Yeah, exactly. If we give them those type of interactions is that necessarily going to instill some type of value of this is fun in a positive and principled way, as opposed to this is fun in a destructive and tormentive way. And if we give that, I don't see a problem with letting them use that on a regular basis.
I mean, yeah, Toy, I think parental engagement and involvement is key. I mean, the parents need to know what's on the tablet, what's on the smartphone, especially, you know, really for kids of all ages, but especially for the youngest kids. You need to make sure that you know what they can possibly be accessing, and ideally that you're finding some apps that they can get in and they're not going to get out. I mean, we all know that there's these crazy apps now that they give them to you, they're free to play, that they encourage you to go click through and buy more stuff and do things in game. And especially for even kids under 4 years old, they don't understand that. And for 2 year olds, all they need, like you were saying, they don't even want to be asked to do that many different quote-unquote fun things. They just want to watch things and maybe hear a couple funny noises and interact with it.
And so, that's one of the things that we were looking for in smartphone apps is some interactivity, some stimulation, and looking for some hand-eye coordination and things like that, and other benefits. I mean, are you seeing, do you have any ideas as to what benefits there may be in this type of activity?
Well, yeah. I mean, so certainly there are definitely, you know, there's educational benefits, not only through the coordination, but through, you know, this idea that this generation is so different and that technology is going to be part of their lives. Like, are they, you know, some parents may ask, are they not going to be, are they going to be at a disadvantage if they don't know how to do these skills?
Right.
And so I think that, you know, that's one of the benefits. And I think that these phones, in addition to hand-eye coordination and, you know, kind of spatial recognition with some of these puzzle games, they can teach the basics too. They can help be tools to kind of augment learning the ABCs, the colors, the shapes, all those things. I think there's definitely a lot of great educational benefits.
Now, you talk to some of these social psychologists and whatnot about, like, the baby Einsteins and these other types of programs. Yeah, and they tell you, hey, it doesn't work. I can't understand how my kid hearing the alphabet and hearing colors is not doing something positive.
Right.
But they'll tell you, hey, there's no benefits to this.
I completely disagree with that. And from my experience with my son, my oldest, we did nothing but give him Brainy Baby and Baby Einsteins. And he knew his full alphabet by 18 months.
Hmm. Wow. Well, and that underscores a great point. You know, researchers and studies can say all it is, but as parents, we got to follow our gut, and we got to go experiential or you know, follow our gut and kind of see, you know, here's what I think this is, or ooh, I'm a little bit concerned that he has tunnel vision right now, or yeah, how can it not be good for him to hear this classical music?
My kid knows the theme song to Cheers.
You know, so. Does he know everybody's name?
Why is it important to play together with your children with these devices?
Well, you know, It's a good point. It's important because then, you know, these don't have to be – the concept that we're talking about here isn't necessarily, you know, here, let's just hand the kid the smartphone or not hand the kid the smartphone. You can play together and be engaged. And just as playing with them and the benefits of play are well documented for parents to engage with their kids, it's super important to play with your kids because you're coming up with common experiences, doing them together. And you can there's apps these days. Like, there's a virtual tea party app that – you know, there isn't so much a game as it is you set the tablet down on a table, mm-hmm. you decorate it, you pick out the tablecloth, you pick out the teacups, and the idea is that you sit around with your kid with some stuffed animals and you just have a pretend tea party using that as sort of a way to augment how you're playing. You know, it's not necessarily the proposition of, oh, let's just get them completely sucked into the world.
Right.
Maybe these can be used as tablets for something, some other greater type.
And you can be having conversation during, you know, over a tea party, so to speak. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You can be talking about your day or what do you like to do and you know, get into imagination, because one of the concerns for me with a lot of the corporate style games, you know, they were movies and now they're games and they're action figures, is the kids will play the movie. And they get stuck in, you know, my son, for example, has his, you know, Star Wars figures, and he plays the Star Wars movie. There's no new game there. There's no new mm-hmm. adventure. It's always, this is episode one and this is episode two. And so we try to get in there and use the lightsabers in a different way, you know, and we make up a new battle to get him thinking outside of that programming that's kind of been thrust on him through visual stimulation. And so I like that idea for the tea party game and right. other games like it, because it gets a conversation going and it's not a system.
Well, the reality is, though, to be honest, when I hand my child the iTouch, it's to get him out of my hair.
Yeah.
So
no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And I understand and I play with my son and stuff, but it's trains and it's on the ground with the tracks and stuff like that. But so is it okay to play without parental supervision?
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's fine. And I think it goes over to Colin's point earlier about parents need to know what it is they're playing. I mean, you wouldn't want to just set your kids free on either your phone that has inappropriate content on it or in a game that you've never checked out or tested before. I mean, as long as you know and you're confident on what the games are that they're playing, I don't think there's a problem. And I think that we can talk a little bit later about some good time limits and some ideas for times. But yeah, it's definitely fine. I think that, what is it, Common Sense Media, I was looking up a stat that 40% of kids between 2 and 4 years old are playing with their smartphones. And I actually think that that's going up now.
Yeah.
I think that study was about a year and a half old, and I think that the number's got to be over 50% now. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a fact and a reality of life. And how great to get that moment of just kind of relief when you're 18-month-old.
Right, hey, it's the only way my husband and I get dinner together at
exactly.
a restaurant.
I see. I don't get that. When my kid, my 14-month-old, has a $400 device in his hands, I'm not calm. You know what I mean? But it's for us, it's the old phones. It's the recycled. Yeah. Like the, you know, we bought the new generation. The kid gets the old generation.
Well, and actually we had a comment on our Facebook page about someone who wanted to mention that there's a Fisher-Price type thing.
It's awesome.
And it's like that. $15 and you stick your phone in. And the best part of it is my son always likes to push the button. So he's playing a game. He pushes the button and it's over. This best part of it, it has a screen across the button and they can't push the button. They got handles and he can throw it on the ground.
We've seen it.
Totally
we love it.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how cool is that? That company is kind of embracing it. But that also underscores the point. If everyone was really following this American Academy of Pediatrics recommendation to not let kids play under two, Fisher-Price wouldn't be making that toy.
Well, we all know the reality of what that is. So.
Exactly.
When we come back, we'll talk about good apps for our kids as well as teach you about parental controls. So we'll be back shortly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're back with John Arbio here to talk with us about technology and our toddlers. So, John, what are some good apps for our toddlers or even younger?
Yeah, so I mean, I've got a list here of some apps. You know, I say games, and you know, really, it kind of blurs the line between the two that are good for like kind of a broad range of ages. Zoo Train is by this company called Busy Bee Studios, and it's great for young kids, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds. And you know what you can find is games like this. If you can find a place like Busy Bee, that it's parents that work there, it's parents that design these apps, and they have young kids, so they make them with those in mind. So if you search for them on the App Store, you could see all their apps. But Zoo Train and Bug Games are a couple that they have. But another app that's really great is this app called the Moogies.
And Moogies, spell that one.
Moogies. And what it really is it's an interactive cartoon. And it goes to the point that Owen was making earlier about, you know, kids not necessarily even wanting to do much with it than just interact. And you get these scenes of these animals doing funny things, like maybe there's a horse exercising or a mouse in a laboratory. And you touch different parts and different funny things happen, like the exercise ball blows up and the horse goes flying across the screen. And it's just different ways that they can keep interacting in the funny environment. And as we all know, 2 and 3-year-olds will just do the same thing over and over and over again, and it's hilarious. So that's the Moogies, and it's pretty great.
That's interesting because we, with the 14-month-old, Jameson is always pressing the buttons, and he presses the ads and stuff like that. And then it's you know, it's like, hey, get me back to where I was. We put on music and give it to him.
Nice, and they just like looking at the album cover.
Yeah, and it exactly.
Yeah,
and they can forward through the song and go to the next song and whatnot. But that Moogies app sounds like right up his alley because it is even old. I mean, he's almost 2, I guess. But you know, I need to give him something that will just go, and there's not going to be pop ups, and there's not going to be, like you're saying, getting out of the app.
And that's the key. I mean, it's really hard to ask people to spend their hard and earn money on things. And it's so easy when there's so many free apps available. Mm-hmm. You think, let me just go see what's hot in the free apps. But, you know, these apps that I'm kind of talking about, they maybe cost 99 cents. Maybe it's $1.99 for a couple that I'm going to talk about. But you can be sure that once they're in the app, they're not getting out of it. They're not being exposed to these extra ads or extra ways to
get out of it. I'd pay $4.99 for a good app, though. I mean, to keep my kid, you know, occupied.
I did $4.99 for an app that teaches me Spanish.
Did you really?
Yeah, and it actually was awesome. I love it. I was playing it every single day because it was it had all of them. It had so many different levels too. So I just moved up in the level and had games to play it. So
arriba.
I know.
And the thing I think about is, am I going to spend 99 cents on an app or $1.99 or $4.99 on an app for my child to be interactive and to learn something and to be captivated for a short amount of time? Or am I going to go and spend $10 or $11 on a board game that he's not as into?
And you will know, swallow the pieces.
Exactly. So 99 cents or $10.99.
And that's why I like these suggestions, because I feel like when you ask me to pay $5 for an app and I don't know what it is, then I'm not going to buy it. I know there's reviews and stuff like that, but we'll have Jotter up in some more segments on Parent Savers telling us of some more apps that we can do to download. But how long should we let our kids play?
Well, that's, you know, there's no exact guideline, and that kind of goes parent to parent. I think that once kids, even really before their second birthday, And as they approach their second birthday, it changes. So maybe around 18 months, they're really not going to play long enough that I think that anyone's going to be concerned about before they kind of lose interest and want to move on. I think that their attention spans are kind of shorter. But as they approach their second birthday, that's where I think you might want to start thinking about setting limits. For us, we do something around, you know, 20 minutes or, you know, slowly maybe build it up to a half hour. And as they get older, you build it up. But I think that an important tip and what, you know, we recommend in some of our books and what other experts say is, you know, balance out that playtime. If they are on the screen, you know, make sure that they have at least a minute or two for every minute that they play on screen that they're playing outside or doing some sort of engaging real world play. And I mean, and enforce it and time it. And, you know, set a timer to count down the time to play or keep track. And if they play for 20 minutes, make sure they spend 40 minutes outside.
Outside banging on the window. Can I come in and play video games again? Because you're going to get that. You know, a lot of the games will have timers. I don't mess too much with parental controls. You were asking a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know what? I have a 2-month-old. I don't have anybody older than that. So help me out here. How do you use parental controls, like on an app or anything like that, to keep them from going into ads or anything else?
It's super important. And this is probably the most important thing that any parent that's going to let their kids play with a tablet or the smartphone need to do. And Apple and the other devices make it really easy. You go into the settings on the device, and it's usually device-related and not app-related.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's settings-related, not app-related.
Yeah, so you need to go to the settings on the device. And, you know, there is there's this thing called in-app purchases, you know, for example. And what you want to make sure is to disable that. That takes away any chance that
absolutely they're not spending $2.99 here and 9 cents there and buying
true exactly. Story, our 3-year-old was playing the Smurfs game and bought $120 worth of Smurf berries playing the Smurfs game. And you know, there's been, you know, this was a couple years ago, and they've kind of changed how they deal with the passwords, and there was some shadiness. If you read about the subject, there was some shadiness.
You can't trust a Smurf though, I
think. yeah what the Smurf, like, that's what I said when I found out about it.
That was Shady Smurf.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, you can just turn off the ability to do in-app purchases. Chances are you're not going to miss it using it on your phone, and to make sure that kids aren't going to be able to do it. Now, you can also, you know, tweak other things and other ways that they can access information through the settings on the device, and that's the key. And I've got some tips.
We're all sitting here. Everyone's got their iPhone out and working on their settings and changing.
Yeah, and I can make sure to give that info to KC to make sure that you can post it on the site.
That sounds great.
Or get a link to show it where we have it on our site on Family Friendly
Or
video
get
game.
The app. Parent Savers app.
That's right. Thanks so much to John Arreal for helping us learn about keeping our kids entertained and educated safely. If you want more information on John's businesses, go to today's show on our episodes page on our website or visit www.familyfriendlyvideogames.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
Before we wrap up today's show, here is a segment on how to better protect your children.
Hey, Parent Savers, this is Detective Damian Jackson with the Escondido Police Department's Family Protection Unit and the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force here in San Diego, California. As part of the Escondido Police Department's ongoing series of community outreach education to help families enhance their personal safety, I'm here today to talk to you about family tree stickers on the back of your car. You know the ones I'm talking about. Why on earth do you have them on there? Every time I'm driving behind someone that has those stickers, I want to get out of my car at the next red light, pull out a razor blade, and scrape those things off the window. Of course you're proud of your family. Who wouldn't be? They're the most awesome people in the world, and they're your pride and joy. So what's the harm in having these stickers? Let me paint a scenario for you to ponder. Let's say a local child predator has spent some time driving behind you, studying the names below those stickers on your back window. I mean, you have them all conveniently listed, right down to the family dog. Then they happen to chance across one of your children and has this little exchange with them. Billy, Billy, oh, I'm so glad I found you. Your dog Rex got hit by a car and your mom Jennifer had to go get your sister Alice and take her to the veterinarian. Hop into my car real quick and we'll call your dad Bob on the way over there. Well, as you can see, what might seem like an innocent set of stickers on the back of your car can open you and your family up to being victimized by predators. If a stranger walked up to you somewhere and asked you what your children's names were, would you tell them? Of course you wouldn't. So why would you openly advertise it to hundreds of strangers every single day on the open road? Scrape those things off and protect your family's privacy. For more information on how you can help keep your family safe, visit us on Facebook or Twitter at @Escondido Police. With the Escondido Police Department and the San Diego Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, I'm Detective Damian Jackson, reminding you and your family to be smart and be safe.
That wraps up today's episode. We'd love to hear from you. If you have questions for our expert about today's show or the topics we discussed, call our Parent Savers hotline at 619-866-4775 or send us an email through our website, parentsavers.com, or Facebook page, and we'll answer your question in an upcoming episode. Coming up next week, we're talking about the secrets to getting your baby to sleep through the night. Thanks for listening to Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.